left off with that Ayin Chesem Beis. We were discussing the Mishnah about a person gives a get to his wife, Karov Law. He gives it that it's close to her. He didn't literally throw it into her backyard. He threw it into the street, and it's close to where she is. The question is, what did close mean? So finally, the Gemara concluded, close doesn't literally mean in terms of geographical close. It means who is in control of this get. So a person throws a get to his wife, and it could be that it's 100 feet away from her. It could be 3 feet away from him. But between him and the get, there's a mountain. There's a ditch. He can't get to the get. So then that's technically considered to be closer to her. So the fact was not so much a question of distance. It was more a question of accessibility. The Gemara supports this idea of quoting a braisa. Ayin Chesem Beis, the first word one is ki. So it's about 15 lines or so from the top, around a third of the way down. So towards the middle of the line, Titan, we looked at the braisa supporting this idea of Eliezer Omer. Koshu karv lo milo. Anytime a get is closer to her than to him, and then a dog grabs the get before it actually gets to her hand, ain't a megureshes. So she's not megureshes. The get is not valid. So this braisa really is very difficult to understand, because if we take the braisa at face value that the get is closer to her, so then that means basically the get took a hold of it, it took effect already. Then why does it matter if a dog eats it later? If Reuben gives a get to Rachel, then 10 years later, the get gets destroyed. That's irrelevant. So why does the eating of the dog change anything? So the Gemara says, Kol heichi, the tinter of Tazel. She has to hold on to the get. She has to watch it for the get forever and ever and ever. So obviously the Brisa cannot mean it, what it sounds like. But the Brisa means as follows. Kol shekar v'lamilo. The get is closer to her than to him technically, in terms of proximity-wise, but if a dog would come, the dog didn't come. If the dog would come, so the phrase, the dog coming, doesn't mean the dog literally ate the get. Like the dog ate the homework, that's not what happened. The dog coming is a way to measure who is the get more accessible to. So if the dog would come and take it away, who yachal l'shomro, he would be able to save the get, he would be able to stop the dog, be yachal l'shomro, and she couldn't because there's something blocking her. Ain't a megureshes. So then the get is not valid. So the whole line about the dog was a little bit misleading. But basically, as a throwback to what we said before, it all depends upon who has accessibility to this get. So Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda. So Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shidda. We call him Shidda. Shidda, according to many, means like sharp one. That was like his nickname for his Talmud, Rav Yehuda. Kidei Shetashuach v'titlenu. That really we're not willing to call the get close enough to her, unless it's so close that she can literally just bend down and to potentially pick it up. But Shmuel told his Talmud Rav Yehuda, don't paskin lemaisa that the woman is megureshes based on the fact that the get is close by until it literally gets into our hands. In other words, all this whole sugya that we said is not really lemaisa. The lady of Aroi were afraid that if you can accept the get based on the fact that it's close to our, accessible to our, it's very, very easy to make a mistake. She'll think it's close. He'll think it's like, therefore, Chazal made it a call and said, even though min haTorah, if it doesn't be other, it doesn't mean literally you have to put it to a hand. If you put it close enough to her that she's in control of it, that's also good. But with the Rabbanan, they said, don't do this lemaisa, because it's just too risky. And then later days, Rav Mordechai told Rav Ashi, that there was the case that actually happened like this, that a get was delivered to a woman, but it was never really placed into her hand. It was just placed down the street right near her. And then before the get actually was received by her, the husband died. And Amoraim at the time insisted that you have a chalitza. In other words, we're not willing to say that the get is valid, even though in the Torah the get is valid. But the later Amoraim made a chumrah that we shouldn't do this because it's just too confusing, just too risky. The Mishnah said that the same way that there's a halacha of karav law, if a get, meikra din is thrown close to her, the definition of close is, the get would be valid. The same is true when it comes to Kiddushin. Amar Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan, the Gittin Amar V'lo Dover Acher. Rabbi Yochanan said that this rule of that it's Dalad Amma, it's a car of law. Wherever you define the Mishnah, that you don't have to literally receive the death, that was only said about Gittin, and that halacha was never said about any other area of halacha. There is no other area of halacha that just, the halacha requires that you have to give it to somebody. It's not enough just to place it down the street near them. So Ace Rabbi Abba Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Abba asked Rabbi Asi a question. V'chein in the Kiddushin, maybe it only applies by Gittin. The Mishnah says explicitly it applies by Kiddushin as well. That's not a question. Whatever applies to Gittin by definition spills over to Kedushin, because the Torah writes both halachas in the same post. There's a hekesh. The Torah says v'yatzvi beis, so she leaves one husband. Halachas she goes to another husband. So we compare the halachas from one to another. So just because Rabbi Yochanan said it's only for Gittin meant Gittin plus Kedushin. Kedushin and Gittin go hand in hand. So Eisvei. So the Gemara continues with the next question. It says explicitly that the same halacha is true concerning returning a chov. It's if I owe you $1,000, so I don't have to literally put it into your hands. I can toss it to you. And if I toss it to you and it's a couple of feet away, it's within your basic control, that would be acceptable. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say that there's a unique halacha only concerning Gittin? It says in the Mishnah explicitly that it applies to paying back loans as well. As it says, b'chelin ha'chov, zerob li'chovi. If Reuben says to Shimon, throw me the money, and I listen to what Zarko Law, I throw it close to him, carve the mal v'zacha. If it's close to the malva, the money that was delivered was close enough to the malva. So zacha, there's a different yusosia, whether it's zacha lova in the sense of zacha lova would mean therefore the lova is exempt. It's a little bit of a funny lashon zacha. Zacha doesn't usually mean that. Some have the girsa zacha malva. And in fact, the Malva was the one who was Zocha on his money. So again, it's just Lashon HaKodesh here. It's not 100% clear. But the idea in the Mishnah is very clear that if you throw the money close to the Malva, then he acquires the money. If it was thrown close to the Lova, the person who borrows the money tosses the water bills 2 inches away from him, and then something happens to the money, so then he never returned the money. If he threw it right in the middle, whatever right in the middle means, depending on the previous sugya, then they would split the money. So the bottom line is, you see for this Mishnah, that this rule of throwing something close to somebody is not unique to Gittin. It is not only unique to Gittin, not unique to Kedushin. It applies to the Nidimamis as well. The Gemara says, no, this was the exception to the rule. That the Malva says absolutely clearly, you throw me the money, and I will exempt you from that loan. If the guy says, I'll exempt you from the loan, I don't need a Mishnah to tell me, so he's exempt. So the Gemara says, later said it. If that's what he said, and the Malva made a condition, he stipulated, just toss me the money and you're done, you're finished with this loan. So why do I need a Mishnah to tell me that? He's a very lumdish mouth. He's learning this, the eighth prayer of Gittin. So he says, oh, you owe me $100 with him. Take that $100, toss me the money, and it should be guided by the principles that govern Hilchos Gittin. So here the guy didn't say explicitly v'tipater. He said, I am Maseches Gittin. It should work according to the guidelines of Gittin. He was a Zekat Melamim. So still, what's the Chiddush? If the guy said, Kedichsiv Mishnah Maseches Gittin, so he basically said the guy's potter. So Mal Tame, I could have said, that maybe the Malva could turn around and say, I was just kidding you. Come on. This is nonsense. And you got, the Malva says to the Lova, you owe me $100. Make a paper airplane out of the $100 bill. Toss it to me, and we'll learn what's get that fine chest together. So I would have thought this whole thing is a big joke. He didn't really mean it. Come on. No, he said it. If he said it, he said it. So again, under normal circumstances, this din of karov law doesn't apply to other areas of aloha unless the party made a stipulated condition that it should work. Amro Chesed, Halei Gemara continues with other strange examples of giving gittin. Get biyado, or mishicha biyado. The man puts the get physically into his wife's hand, but he's holding onto it, as the phrase of, with strings attached. It's literally strings attached. There's a cord, there's a string that's attached physically to the get. So the question is that called the nosim biyado? So on the one hand, he handed the get is in her hand. On the other hand, he could yank it right out of her hand. So Chizda said it depends. If he has the easily available to him, he has the ability to just pull the string and bring the get back to him, then the get is not good. But if he can't do that, she'll pull it away from him, migureshes. She wouldn't be migureshes. What is the problem with this get? If the rule it is a fulfillment of Inasa Biyada, says, give away my time, but what is the reason we eat increases for like, the Torah says that the get has to be krisos, has to be something that separates between the two. So here the Gemara is learning almost like a multiple levels of what the word krisos means. The Gemara says in other places that krisos refers to that the separation has to be complete. If a man gives a get to his wife and says, I'm giving you this get on the condition that forever you can't drink wine. Yola batishtayayin. The Gemara says, you made a condition on her that's blinding her forever. You know, 50 years from now, she's still got to listen to your b'shagas. So that's a chisod increases. He never really separated from her entirely. Well, the Gemara says, later on in Gittin, so the guy writes to get to his wife, he says, he doesn't want her to marry Reuven. So he puts the name Reuven as a stipulation to limit the ability of the get. The Gemara says, that's also not called creases. Creases means it's done, finished. There's no relationship whatsoever. Here, the Gemara is using creases in a very, very different way. Here, the Gemara is using creases as a way of physically separating. It means the nesidus again has to be done in the derech creases, but there's no physical connection. There's a string connecting them. If the string is easily yanked by the husband, so that is not considered to be a fulfillment of the pasuk creases. I'm reviewing them. What if her hand is in a position? It's almost like a katafras, literally means like a waterfall. It's in this position. It's in a downward position. Vizarkola, and the get is thrown to her. So the get would not be begureshes because it just slid right off her hand. So she never really received it. Amai says, well, why is that no good? The minute that it rebounds off her hand, so it falls onto the floor. So it's within her da'al amas. So we learned in the previous sugya that if something is literally so close to her, that's as if he gave it to her. So even though he didn't fulfill but also the other, because it never really landed in her hand, let the get still take effect because it landed in her da'al amas. The Gemara says, no, but the lo noch, that it never landed. Okay? So somebody grabbed it before it actually fell into the da'al amas. So we asked the Gemara to garish b'avir the arbamas. Even though it was never, it never actually landed on the ground, let the get still be valid because it fell within the airspace of da'al amas. When we say that a person is kona something with da'al amas, it's not just something that's on the ground. It's whatever's within your airspace that's also considered to be belong to you. So tishat the bayra belozer. So maybe from the fact that that was not an option, maybe we should go back to a question Rabbi Elozer raised, and we should conclude the bayra belozer. Arba amish she'amu yeshan avir ena avir. This din that you can be kona something within da'al amas, where it is of you. We know this is true if it's on the floor. So the Gemara describes in the first paragraph of the second Bavitia that if a person is walking on the way and they see a lost object, if it's within Da'at Amos of them, then they automatically code it. So to over here, the Belozer wasn't sure, maybe the Kinyan of Da'at Amos applies even to the Avya, even to something that wasn't on the floor, as long as it was in your basic area. So maybe we should derive from our sugya that even though Rabbi Elazar had a shaila about amish amuyesh and avir and avir, tivshot el avir, you could see clear from this sugya that there is no avir. Because the fact that the Gemara is telling us that a get that's put onto the woman's hand, but it's on a slant, it kind of slides off, the get is no good, that seems to be a proof that avir would not be a kinyan. So Hachav HaEskinim says, no, we're dealing with unique situations where there is no avir. Why is there no avir? So when do we say that maybe avir is kona? When is airspace kona? That's if the airspace will lead the object to fall directly down. So the items come in shooting over and it enters into your da'at amas, it's kona, because in 1 second from now it's going to hit the ground. But what if it's never going to hit the ground? The airspace is suspended over a river. So it's not that it's omer lekach to fall to the ground. It's just an airspace mi'alma. So maybe the kinyan wouldn't be chal. So it's hard to tell what the din is. So the bottom line is we have these different kinyanim and different ways of creating a get. We have v'nosa mi'alma, literally v'nosa mi'alma. And we have v'nosa mechatzera. The Tashma Peh tells us that a chatzer is also valid. Then Chazal extended this to other kinds of cases of da'at amas and karav law, etc. And then Chazal backpedaled a little bit and got very, very weary, as we saw before, that maybe we should rely on some of these things. Some of these things are a little bit too tricky that the get should be chal. Let's go back to the basics, literally back to putting it to her hand, to putting it literally into her property. All these kind of klunsim of giving to her in other ways become a little bit too risky.
But let's say her hand was flat.
But if he puts it in her hand, it's in her hand.
No, he's throwing it to her. She's over in the river.
Yeah. And so if it would have landed in her hand.
The case that her hand is like this.
Right.
So, pulls
over
her hand. Like this and pulls
over her hand. So that's Avriyad, right? So Avriyad would be good, right? Avriyad is a valid kid, yeah. So the Mishnah begins on the top of my intestine and Aleph. How you sell that? And again, even though these cases, like very, very often in the Gemara, the cases themselves are a little bit wild. We're not advocating this happening. We're not saying that these kind of crazy things happen. But Chazal will use these somewhat bizarre scenarios to express to us these basic halachic principles of kinyan chotzer, kinyan yad, avir, da'arav, etc. All this long this in terms of kinyanim are all encompassed with these wild illustrations. So, like the Gemara's in Yevamos, the Gemara talks about the four men married to four brothers, married to four sisters. So it never happened. No four brothers are married to four sisters. But the principles that help us understand the Sefer Yevamos become real in a sense, based on these somewhat far-fetched scenarios, but they're able to identify for us what the underlying principles are. So comes the Mishnah at the top of my Tesef and Aleph. Haisa medes al rosh hagag. That if she is standing on top of a roof, the roof belongs to her, the zarkula, and now he throws her a get on up to the roof. Kevin shegila avra gagar is bugareshes. Once it enters into the airspace of the roof, then she is bugareshes. Again, this is highlighting this principle that when you have a chotzer, so not only is the kinyan going to be chal, in this case the get going to be chal, when it lands on the ground, but even the airspace of her property is also considered to be acceptable. What if he's on top? So he's on top of the roof, and he's through. It's his roof, but now he's throwing it down to her. She's on the bottom. He throws it again. Once the get leaves the space of the roof, so once it's no longer in his area, so now it's on the way down. If something happens to the get before it actually lands, so then it is still considered to be a valid get. What could happen to the get? The get got erased. Starts to pour onto the get. Well, the get was got burnt up, got exploded. Somebody shot an arrow missile to shoot out a ballistic missile. So whatever the case may be. So somebody intercepted the get on the way. So it's still good. I raised the garages. Why? Because once the get had entered into the area that belonged to her, it doesn't necessarily have to arrive. Mamish Pritzuk Mashmo into her property. That's also considered to be coming into her property. The Gemara just works out a couple of technicalities in terms of this. Halo Minter. So ask the Gemara, in the first case, where she's standing on top of the roof, and he throws her again into her airspace. The Gemara says, wait a second. Just the fact that it arrives on top of a roof, that's good. That's called Avra Chatzir. Halo Minter, that the get is not being watched, not being guarded. The idea of a chotzer means if I throw something, let's say you have a house, and I toss something through the window into your house, even though it didn't land yet, but it's under your protection, it's in your domain. If you have an open area, so you have a top of a roof, and something is thrown over your airspace, it's not protected yet. There's no walls around it. So even though, in theory, you quote-unquote own that area, but since that area is not protected, that's not considered to be part of the parish or part of the sugi chotzer. The question is, you're right. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, the gag sheyesh ma'ake askinan, that the roof has a fence around it, which is not so surprising because it's supposed to have one, because especially people run there on top of it. That's a bit of ma'ake. So the Mishnah says that when you have a situation where the get is going onto the airspace, but the airspace is protected airspace, so then that would be acceptable. Ulba Menashe Mishpeid Yavimi Amar. Ulba Menashe, the name of Yavimi, gave a different answer. Pachas Mishloshe Sabach Lagag Askinan. Pachas Mishloshe Sabach Lagag Kigag Domi. That we're dealing that the get was didn't quite land onto the roof, but it came awfully close. It came with a little bit less than three tvachim close to the roof. Now, why is that important? So we have a principle in other areas of halacha, sukkah, chazayim, Shabbos, that whenever you have something which is less than three tefachim, it's what's called lavud. It's considered to be just connected to the area. So to over here, when you throw something and it's within the three tefachim, a couple of inches off the ground, so then even though it's not technically protected by any walls, but just the mere fact that it's so close to the ground, that is sufficient. That's considered to be as if it landed on the level of the roof proper. Then the Gemara goes back to the other case in the Mishnah, Humilamala, in the case where he was on the top and now he's tossing to get down to her. So the Gemara says the same question, Halo Minta, that how can the Mishnah say that once the get enters into her airspace, so everything is good, the get is not being watched, the get's not being protected. So I'm reviewing the Mishmuel, Gonshahayu Mechitas at Techtonos, Otfos Alal Yonos, that know that the Mechitas of the bottom area are actually taller than the ones of the top area. So when he tosses it above, once it leaves his area, it goes right into her protected space. And Rabbi Elazar said that in Rabbi Oshia, the exact same answer. Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing as well. So everybody, these are all contemporaries. Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, they're all from the same basic generation. Some in Eretz Yisrael, some in Bavel, and they're all giving the same answer. So now the Gemara questions this whole idea that appears in the Mishnah that something can take effect even though it hasn't quite landed. Who is this idea following? There was a machlokes ha-tanoim between Rebbe and the Chachamim in the beginning of Shabbos about the following question. We know that one of the lametes malachas in Shabbos is to throw something, to carry something from one rishus to another. So if one carries either from a private area to a public area or vice versa, or Dalet Amos within the public area, those are all Isurim and Daraisa on Shabbos. How exactly do you define Rishus HaYochid? How do you define Rishus Rav? 105 Lad Erevin and then some of Shabbos to figure out what the details of those halachas are. But the basic principle is that going from one Rishus to another. It's also critical that you only chayev on Shabbos if you do what's called an Akira and a Hanocha. You have to pick something up in one area and place it down in another area. So what if a person throws something? So is that considered to be placing it down or not? So an item is in midair, it's in flight. Is that considered to be as if it's rested, as if it's landed or not? So there are all kinds of different opinions. Let's say I throw something from a Rosh Hashanah to a Rosh Hashanah over Rosh Hashanah. So do we view it as if it stopped, as if it landed? So there was machlekes would be Akiva and the Chachamim. So I'm sorry, there was a double machlekes. So there was machlekes from Akiva and the Chachamim about one half. Then there was machlekes from Rebbe and the Chachamim about a different related Nekuda. What's called Kluta Kibishahun Chadamya. When something is up in the air, it's still going, it's still in motion, do we view it as if it stopped or not? I remember somebody was, I'm not holding enough, I don't know too much about physics, but someone who was holding in physics was trying to explain to me that this machlekes ha-tanoim was a fundamental machlekes, the different mahalchim in physics, that how to understand the relation between motion. He lost me on the first day of the class. But there was something that this machlekes is a conceptual machlekes, how to view items in motion, whether you view it as a constant emotion, or if you think it's a stopping, starting. Again, I wasn't holding enough to understand it. But Rebbe says that Kulti Mishun Chadamya, that something that's moving, that even though it's in midair, it's as if it's already rested. So therefore, this get is as if it has already rested, and therefore the get would be valid. So Malay, so Ula said to him, no, that this issue of Nuchas Gittin is not identical to the issue of Nuchas Shabbos. Afilu Teimer Rabbanan, even according to the Chachamim, who don't buy into that idea. Ad Kala Pligi Rabbanan, Alei the Rebbe Elinin Shabbos. That's true, like Abi Shabbos, that we wouldn't say that it's just as if it's rested. About Hakumi should mean Turiu. Whereas by a get, it's not like a Issa Behetta question, is it conceptually, philosophically, halachically, as if it's rested? It's simply a question, is this item being guarded or not? Is it in the woman's control or not? So if you throw a get into an area that's surrounded by walls, it's the woman's property, so the get's not going anywhere. No one's climbing the walls to get the get. Hakum Inter, and therefore Therefore, the get would be valid. Well, the Gemara says, "I can't believe Rabbi Shav the Hoch Shuvah to Rabbi Element." Then the Gemara said a similar discussion took place. Rabbi Yochanan said a similar kind of an idea that as long as the walls are extending above, they're protecting the get, that would be valid. A similar question. Is that following the view of Rebbe? According to Rebbe, in Nuchas Shabbos, it doesn't have to actually land to be called the Hanocha. So to in Nuchas Gittin and Kinyanim, it doesn't have to land. Only no, it's not true. Even according to the Chacham, Ad Kala Plig Rabbanan the Rebbe. When did the Chachamim argue with Rebbe? El Inyan Shabbos. That's only true vis-a-vis Shabbos. Here by Gittin, the goal is simply to make sure that it's being guarded properly. And in fact, it is being guarded. Then the Mishnah said that if the get is being tossed in the air and then it gets erased halfway down, so as long as it was in her airspace, a protected airspace, that would be valid. So Amram Nachan, Amram Avuah, Lo Shalosh, and Imchak Derech Yerida. That's if it got erased, if the get got ruined while it's already in the downward position. Avon Imchak Derech Aliyah, but if the get is still in its upward trajectory, so, lo, that would not be valid yet, my time. I mean, Carlo Lamanakoi. that the only time we say that something is as if it's munach, it's already landed, that's if gravity is working its position, bringing it down. So right now it's already in a downward spin. So then we just ignore the fact that it's still 20 feet above the ground. We view it as if it's already landed, whereas it's still being shot up. So then we wouldn't say that yet. So if and when the get would get destroyed at that point, it would ultimately depend upon at which point of this flight pattern is this get. If it's on the way down, then the get is balanced. On the way up, the get would not yet be balanced. So again, obviously, these cases are not meant to be descriptions of every year. We're not going to have these kinds of shilas. But again, these develop for us some of the basic principles in terms of kinyan and get, in terms of being guarded, not being guarded, what's kibushal hunchadami. At what point we say that we can invoke this halacha? So there is this Tosha Rabbeinu teaches us that nasa biyada doesn't mean literally your hand. It could mean hachatz or rishus as well. Now we just have to fine tune what halacha is considered to be harishus or not.
Doesn't have to be
within
a dollar.
Right.
Goes beyond
multiple levels. Right. So that's what the Gemara is wondering about. Does that doesn't have to be right? The Gemara thought it had to be maybe literally all the way down. I think much questioning, maybe not. As long as it's within our protected airspace. Right. Protected airspace is also hard airspace, right?
That's not
how it happens. That's not how it
happens, right? So, like your Teich, right?
Oh, yeah. The test.
Hopefully. But local wedding, local for me, not for him.